Then it was on June 21st, 1965, you would have been 17 years old, you became a Cincinnati Red.
Well, I was drafted, and the scout, Tony Rovello, came in, and he said, "I hear you hurt your arm." Great negotiating, straight out of the chute. No, I'll throw for you in the front yard if you want to see me throw it right now. And they came with an offer, and my dad said, "No, that's not good enough." And so he said, "Well, I'm going to make a call." So he went down to the phone booth down at the corner, the only phone booth in town. He came back and said, "Well, we'll offer you $6,000, and because I wanted to go to school, we'll give you $1,000 for each 8 semesters you go to school." My dad said, "No, it's not enough, but it's up to you. It's your life." I said, "Dad, that's what I grew up to be." I accepted the offer, wound up getting on my first airplane and flying to Tampa, Florida, getting off the plane, going to the ballpark that evening. They were in the doubleheader. It was the 7th inning of the 2nd game. I warmed up the pitcher in the bullpen and warmed up the pitcher at home plate in the 8th inning, and then I caught the 9th inning of that ball game. I was making $500 a month, and I was professional.
Here you are this young, first time away from home.
Oh, yeah, by myself. 6 pair of Levi's and 1 pair of dress pants.
And probably homesick?
Yeah, but like I said, this is what I grew up to be. I sure missed Mom when I woke up the next morning. I stayed on a sideways sofa in some of the players' apartment. Clothes were still on the floor, and breakfast wasn't ready, and all of a sudden, "Man, what do you do here?" And the boys kind of took me under their arms. We had guys that some had signed, some were on their way out because they were going down, down, down from AA to Class A. We left the next day, actually, on a road trip to Miami. We had like 5 station wagons. Some of the players and the coaches drove, and here we take off with all our gear in the back and guys strung out. And we go to Miami, Florida to play the Baltimore team at that time.
You've already brought up the name of Bobby Mercer. In that same year, 1965, he was making, in the fall of that year, September 8th, his debut with the New York Yankees. He's about a year or two older than you. Knowing that he was kind of following the same path you were, did you know him at that point?
No, I got to see Bobby only when we played him. Well, I did see him in spring training down in Tampa when we would go to Fort Lauderdale. I was just so proud of him. He was such a great player, just graceful and swing the bat and do everything defensively. You know, I was so proud of him. In those days, in 65, around that time, we had, percentage-wise, more major leaguers than any other state. And I was proud of that. A thing for me was you keep your nose clean. I talked yesterday to my old roommate from 1965, Norm Singleton. He was drafted as a first baseman and catcher. He said, "Well, I could never have made it, first of all, because you were going to be catching for the rest of your life. I was never going to make it because I couldn't hit well enough to do it." He was a good first baseman, but it was just what it was, you know. Mm-hmm. I had great mentors with the older players. Cactus Jack Cassini was my manager. I just kept my nose in the right places. I found the right people. I always wanted to surround myself with good, solid guys as friends. And I had it, and Carl Barnes and Norm Singleton. And heck, we rented a room at the Park and Sleep Motel, and the 3 of us slept. We had 2 rollaway beds and a regular bed in a room that is not as big as probably as the studio you're broadcasting from. Mm-hmm. But, hey, you just came home, you went out to eat, you came back to the room, you slept, you got up, and you went to the park. Hey, it's professional. I'm a professional. I don't know what the glory is, but the fact is that you've got to make your way up.
And I should point out that Bobby Mercer was born in Oklahoma City, as you were. By the way, Major League Baseball players born in Oklahoma. I counted up, there were 241 Major League players from Oklahoma. Isn't that amazing?
It is. When you think of the size of the state, you find that in certain areas where all of a sudden football becomes king and every youngster wants to play football. And when you have the quality of baseball and you have people that you can look up to in the major leagues, for the parents, for the grandparents, it's a lot of talk about, "Yeah, I used to see that old boy, and I used to do this, and he's from Oklahoma. We support him," and kids start to say, "Well, I want to play too," and that brings them out and play. Of course, we've always had just great athletes, great genes out there, hardworking people who are tough and strong, and I think it just sort of, in a way, breeds success in baseball players.
Right. And while we don't have the time to go into all the names, it starts with Jerry Adair, born in Sand Springs, Oklahoma, and ends with Chief Yellow Horse from Pawnee, Oklahoma.
Yeah, but the big chief, man. I mean, how about Allie Reynolds and Mickey Mantle? And then Willie Stargell was actually born in Oklahoma. Warren Spahn was just the nicest man in the world. What a career he had of all the left-handers. Maybe the best left-hander ever. That's cool. That really is cool. And my old buddy Cal McClish, I hated to lose him. You know, you're proud of it. You run into those guys. Demeter, you're right. We could go down the list, but we don't have time. You know, it's always a big thank you for the guys that preceded us.
Right. I'm tempted to go more. Here's Joe Carter out of Oklahoma City, Bobby Cox, the Braves out of Tulsa. Al Dar, too, as a matter of fact.
The Wainer brothers, yeah.